Again, we're turning to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. I find it hard to tell a little bit whenever I'm singing out myself, but it did sound to me like some of you were picking up that hymn all right, so I was thankful for that. And certainly it does express very well the blessing that God's word is to us, and I trust we'll know something of that blessing as we come around the word of God now. So we're in Daniel chapter 12, and we'll read together the whole of the chapter. Again, do remember as we start to read that these first few verses are really the conclusion to all that's been said in chapter 11. But Daniel 12, and reading from verse 1, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, How long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and an half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth, and cometh to 1,335 days. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days." And we end the reading there at the end of the chapter and at the end of this book of Daniel. And may the Lord give us ears to hearken now, to listen, to hear his word. Returning to Daniel chapter 12 again, the passage that we just read. Daniel chapter 12. And it's the intention to finish the series in Daniel today. So we got as far as verse 3 last time. So it's really this last section from verse 4. And we're looking to take right through to the end of the chapter. But if you have your Bible open, we'll bow in prayer. Let's look to the Lord for the help that we need. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful to you today for your mercies that you have provided for us practically, that you've gathered us here to this place, but also then that you've given us the scriptures of truth. You have given unto us the revelation of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the things of the gospel set before us. And we certainly pray that even today as we turn to the scriptures, that by your Spirit you would take up the word and use it with mighty power and speak in season to each and every one of us. Apply your word with your sovereign wisdom, even as you see the need in every individual heart, that thy Spirit would press home the relevant details and in the relevant way, and be pleased, Lord, to speak in a way that brings forth fruit in every one of our lives, salvation for the lost, even that building, that nurturing for thy people. We pray these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen. Now, throughout this book, and I suppose especially in the second half of the book, we're shown numerous visions, dreams, prophecies that were given to Daniel, setting forth things that would come to pass in the years that lay ahead. It's a book that speaks of kingdoms rising and falling, a book which leads us from Daniel's time when Israel was carried off into exile by the Babylonians, right through to the coming of Christ and the establishing of the kingdom that God sets up through the Savior's work. In chapter 11, we had our most detailed prophecy yet, with all sorts of specific things about the kingdom of Syria in the north, the kingdom of Egypt in the south. We're brought all the way through to this chapter where Michael stands up. I've suggested in a couple of weeks ago, it's a reference to the coming of Christ into the world. Take that as you will. It's, as I take it, a reference to the work of redemption, the securing of salvation for God's people, deliverance then wrought for all who are in the book of life. Daniel then is given a little preview as to the final outcome of it all, where God's people have this expectation of rising again, and those who are the Lord's shine as the brightness of the firmament and as the stars forever and ever. Now, as we've traced through all of this, not just chapter 11 and into chapter 12, but many other parts of the book of Daniel, I'm guessing there's times where you felt at least a little bit confused. And if you haven't, well, then maybe you're the one that should be in the pulpit, because I've certainly felt that at times whenever I've been preparing to preach. But if you think that we've been confused by some of the prophecies of this book, have a moment of compassion for Daniel. Because, as I've been suggesting along our way through the book, a lot of this, maybe not everything, depending on who you ask, but a lot of this can be understood by us, or at least we can get some sort of a handle on it, because for us, it's been fulfilled in the past. And there's certain parts of it which it's just obvious that that's the case. Whenever there were prophecies made about, say, the Persian Empire or the Greek Empire, or some things relating to the Roman Empire, depending on how far you push that. Nevertheless, everyone's agreed there are certain things relating to these different peoples that lived in the past. And we can get something of a handle on Daniel's prophecies because some of it, at least, is in the past for us. It's happened already. But, you know, poor Daniel, he's living before many of these things happened, so it's not hard to imagine that it was very difficult for him to understand all these details. Well, at the very conclusion of this long prophecy, chapter 11, into the start of chapter 12, the angel who had revealed all this seems to make clear that an awful lot of this was not actually for Daniel's time. It was for days ahead. Now, that's why he says in verse 4 to Daniel, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end." Now, the point in those words was, I suppose, that the document was to be preserved. That's what's implied by it being shut up or sealed. It's shut up, it's sealed, so that it's not repeatedly being opened and closed and just being worn out by use. Now, it's not that the content has to be kept secret. Whenever the original text of a document was sealed up and placed in the archives for preservation, for keeping, you could have copies of it that were made and circulated and people benefit from the content, but all the while, the original is sealed up, it's in the archive, it's preserved for generations to come. Well, there's something of that idea here. It's not that Daniel's content has to be hidden, but the angel is telling him, seal it up, preserve it, until the time of the end. You see, the content that was given to Daniel, it was beneficial for Daniel and for others in his day, but it needed to be sealed up because the relevance of these things would be especially important for future generations. A lot in this book would happen many, many years after Daniel's time. And there's a sense then in which some of these things weren't really for him, at least not primarily. They were primarily sealed up for a future generation. So as far as Daniel's concerned, he's told, seal up the book, even to the time of the end. Now, not only was the scroll practically to be sealed up, but there is a sense, I think, in which a lot of the content, you could describe it as being already shut up and sealed, at least as far as Daniel was concerned, because he simply didn't understand a lot of the specifics. He didn't understand, not fully, a lot of the things that were set down here and given to him. I strongly suspect that Daniel was on Peter's mind when he wrote in 1 Peter 1, verse 12, and he spoke about prophets, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you. Well, Daniel, he wrote about Christ. He ministered unto us the things of Christ. But there's a sense in which when he's told, shut it up, seal it up, preserve it to the time of the end, that's him being told, it's not primarily unto you that you're ministering, Daniel. It's for this future generation to come. There were things there in Daniel's writing, things about Christ, about the salvation that Christ would bring. And it wasn't primarily relevant for Daniel's time. It was for future days. And so there were plenty of things that Daniel simply didn't understand. He even tells us as much in verse 8. I heard, but I understood not. And as we bring our study of this book to a close today, I want to focus on this idea of how we respond when we come to Scripture, and especially to some of those harder parts of Scripture, and especially maybe relating to future things, where we simply don't understand. It's hard to get our head around the full picture. There's times when it at least feels to us like the words of the Bible, in some degree, are shut up and sealed, and we can't fully understand it all. So if you want a title, we're thinking about words sealed up. Words sealed up. And first of all, I want you simply to appreciate the expectation of such words. Sometimes it frustrates us whenever we come to the Bible and we simply don't understand what we're reading, what's going on, what's being spoken about. And I think that's especially true when we're reading or when we're thinking about maybe end time themes. We might have the big general picture, but we struggle to put all the little details into their place. You know, what exactly will things look like when Christ returns again, for example? And then we've got all sorts of debate over the details of what to expect before that, what leads up to that. And all the debate is mainly because there's so much that's still quite puzzling to us. It's like we all have our rough idea of the end times, but for each of us, no matter what your view is, you're trying to take together all these different jigsaw pieces from the Word of God and put them together and form the picture perfectly. But I think for most of us, we've still got one or two pieces that are sitting loose in our framework of things, and we're struggling to work out how they slot into the picture, and we don't fully understand. There's a lot of confusion. And you know, some of that is to be expected. It's to be expected. That's how it was for Daniel. And there will be areas where that's how it is for us. In fact, when the Lord revealed these things to Daniel, the Lord knew that Daniel wouldn't understand many of the details. Nevertheless, in his sovereign wisdom, it was given to Daniel, and it was good for Daniel. And Daniel wasn't meant to be alarmed when he didn't understand every little detail that was told to him. Instead, he was to benefit from what he did understand. You know, likewise, when you come to God's word and you come to some passages and you're finding it just so difficult, you're not meant to be alarmed. You're not meant to be alarmed when you're struggling over certain passages and you can't work out the fine details. You're not to be alarmed. This is the way that it often is. And the Lord doesn't always expect his people to understand every jot and tittle. The Lord didn't expect Daniel to understand everything that was within this book. In fact, in verse 8, when Daniel says that he doesn't understand, as we'll see in a moment, he doesn't really get an answer. He doesn't really get told. He doesn't get given the explanation. There's things that the Lord just doesn't expect us to understand right now. Here's Daniel. He doesn't understand, and instead he's just told in verse 4, seal up the book to the time of the end. He's told many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. The sense seems to be that there will be all sorts of activity continuing, all the backwards and forwards of it, to and fro, over the years ahead. But as time goes on, things are going to get plainer. Knowledge will be increased. It's not clear for you right now, Daniel, but don't be alarmed. With time passing, knowledge will be increased. When it's needed, when it's more relevant to the time, these things will be more clearly understood. Now, I should emphasize that we are in a better position, a much better position than Daniel today, mainly because we live in the New Testament era, after the coming of Jesus Christ into this world. And with the coming of Christ, we have the great revelation of God. You know, today, unlike Daniel, we don't have to rely so heavily upon the shadows and the types and the pictures of the Old Testament, because we have the clear, the shining, the bright revelation of Christ who has come in the flesh. That's why Hebrews begins by saying that God, who in time past spoke by the prophets, he hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. There's the idea at the start of Hebrews. God previously spoke like this with prophets, with the different prophecies, the difficult sayings, the types, the shadows, all of that. But today, he's spoken to us by his Son. There's this greater revelation. Christ is the great revelation of God. So do recognize, when we read about Daniel's confusion here, we have got so much more light than Daniel. There's much less that's shut up for us than there was shut up for Daniel. In fact, it's interesting to notice that in the book of Revelation, it ends a little bit like the ending of Daniel, except in Revelation, the angel who has just shown John numerous things specifically tells him in Revelation 22, verse 10, "Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand." John is told, unlike Daniel, don't seal it up. Don't seal it up, because the time is at hand. The time is now. John's being told the bulk of this book is very, very relevant to you right here, right now. It's not to be sealed up to you. But the point is, we have much clearer light now than Daniel had. There's much less that we're waiting for. There's much less that is vague and in the future, because this great revelation of God in Christ has been made to us. You know, we ought to appreciate, especially as we think of Daniel and undoubtedly the confusion that he might have faced at times with some of these things, appreciate that you have been privileged much more than Daniel, because you have more light than Daniel ever had. Much less is sealed up for you. Daniel never got a clear sight of the Savior hanging upon the cross. He never got a clear sight of the third day when the tomb was opened and the Savior was risen from the dead. He never got a clear sight of Christ ascending into the heaven to take his place at the right hand of God. Now, some of those things are mentioned in the book of Daniel. But again, they're mentioned by way of these harder sayings, these prophecies, these pointings forward that were difficult to grasp. You have these things clearly set forth for you in the history of what Christ has done. So praise the Lord for the light that you have today. And yet, you do need to make use of the light that you have today. You know, always remember that with great blessing from God comes great responsibility. In Matthew 10, verse 14, Christ told his disciples to go into the different towns and villages and so on and preach. And he told them, "Whoever shall not receive you nor hear your words, when you depart, shake the dust off your feet." He says, "Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." You think of it, because those households and cities that Christ was sending his disciples to, because they had more light than Sodom and Gomorrah, they would face a more solemn judgment than Sodom and Gomorrah because of their rejection of that light, their rejection of the clear testimony to Christ. So do make use of the light that you have with the great blessing that God gives you, and especially when here we find ourselves in a Christian church where the gospel is proclaimed. We're not in some part of the world where there's no witness to Christ. We have the things of God set before us so openly and clearly. Make use of that light. Take heed to the word of God. The Bible today is given to you, and it's given to you not in an overly complicated way. Yes, there's some things that are hard to understand, but so much of the Bible is not shrouded in mystery. There's no looking at it and wondering what will this be in future times. No, so much of it is already shown you very clearly. Christ has come, he has died for sinners, he has risen again in triumph, he stands able to save, and the light is shining, and you're to respond to it. You're pointed to Christ. You're to make use of it. So we have more light than Daniel, and it should be used. But do recognize there are still some things that are ahead of us, and we wait for the return of our Savior, and therefore it's no surprise in some areas where there are things that we're a little unclear on. You're not to be alarmed if you don't grasp everything right now. Be clear that just as God says to Daniel in Daniel 12 and verse 4, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. As these things are needed, they'll be clearer. Knowledge will be increased as the time goes by. I want you to think then about the certainty of these words. We've thought about the expectation of them. It's simply expected that there'll be things in God's word that we don't fully grasp. But nevertheless, I want you to notice the certainty of these words. Daniel didn't understand everything, but that did not nullify the truth of it. All would come to pass, just as the Lord had said. Now that's emphasized in verses 5 through 7. You might remember all of this began in chapter 10. Daniel was beside the river, and the angel of the Lord came and appeared to him. Others that had been with him fled. But now Daniel is at the river. He's been told this prophecy of what's coming. And so he's at the river, he looks up, and he notices now that there are two other figures. There's one standing on each side of the river. And now they ask a question to the original figure who seems to be standing upon the waters. They ask, how long shall it be unto the end of these wonders? How long will it be until all of this is brought to a climax and Michael stands up and there's deliverance for God's people? How long will it be? Well, the man clothed with linen, who's standing upon the waters, the one who revealed this prophecy to Daniel, he responds with a great deal of seriousness. Notice that in verse 7. It says that he held up his right hand, he held up his left hand. There's this image of him with both hands raised to heaven. And then, and that's the gesture of a solemn oath. And then he swears by him that liveth forever. He swears by the name of the Lord. And the point is that this is firm. This is established. It will be so. On the very honor of God, this will come to pass. And what's the answer? Well, that's where it gets a bit trickier. It shall be for a time, times, and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. Now, there's debate about the time, times, and a half. Some take it as 3.5 years, that is, you know, one time plus two times plus another half a time, making 3.5 times or 3.5 years. Now that, if that's the case, that might tie in with the number of days that you get given in the last few verses of the chapter. So some take it as 3.5 years. Personally, I tend to think it's more likely a symbolic description of God's perfect control. The word time, it's not a Hebrew word for year. It's rather a word that speaks of a period that is appointed, an appointed time, a set time. And so, well, even if you take it as a specific 3.5 years, there is this idea of God's appointment, God's set time. It's established. We came across a similar description earlier in the book. Although I'm not dogmatic on it, I tend to view it as a long and yet definite period of time in the appointment of God. There may well even be the idea of the time being shortened by God's grace, you know, like a full period of seven being, you know, one of those round numbers in the Bible, a perfect number, the idea of seven being cut in half, and so you get 3.5 times. Maybe there's something of that to it, but whatever way you take it, it seems to have this idea in it of God's appointment. These are appointed times. Now, connected with that time, this appointed time, the angel reveals that when it'll be done when God shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, that all these things shall be finished. You know, this recent prophecy has been all about the scattering of the power of God's people. It's been about a long period of trouble and difficulty and oppression as God's people wait upon the fulfillment of God's promises. And throughout this time, God is allowing his people to be trodden down. He is allowing their power to be scattered over all these years of oppression as they are, you know, tossed back and forward between these foreign nations. They have, you know, very little time in this whole period described through chapter 11 in which Israel as a nation is independent. They're constantly under pressure. They're constantly being ruled by other peoples. Their power is being diminished. Throughout that long period of time as God's people struggle, it might feel like there's no end in sight. But notice that these things will be completed. These things will be finished. It might feel like there's no end, but it will be ended when God is finished, scattering the power of the holy people. Again, I'm not dogmatic on this, but my suggestion is that what you have here, it essentially ties in with Isaiah 40. In Isaiah 40, the word came to the prophet, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. She hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And Isaiah goes on to say, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Now those words were taken up by John the Baptist, and he came claiming to be the fulfillment of that, preparing the way for the coming of Christ. And the point in Isaiah 40 is this declaration: go forth, it's time to comfort Jerusalem. You've received of the Lord's hand double for all your sin. You've been scattered, you've been troubled, you've been brought low under the chastisement of God for your various transgressions against him. But now, look, God is going to bestow favor upon you. God is going to comfort you. Behold, the Savior is coming. That's the whole point in Isaiah 40. Well, I suggest that's the idea here in Daniel. There's this long time when the power of God's people is scattered, when they're brought low, when they're afflicted under the rod of God. But when it's accomplished, when all these things are finished, then God's word will come to pass. Now, whether you agree with me on all that or not, take the big point that although Daniel didn't fully understand all this prophecy, yet it was certain. The angel declares it with the solemn oath, hands raised to heaven, the vow made in the name of the Lord, it will come to pass. And whatever you take these details to mean, God is accomplishing certain things throughout this long period of time, and he will finish it. Even though Daniel couldn't understand all the details, yet he could be confident in this big picture, which he'd grasped, and it was sure God would do it. Now, be clear that as you wait for the coming of Christ, and maybe even struggle with all the details, your lack of clarity on how it will all work out will in no way stop its fulfillment. Therefore, even though you don't understand all the details, even though you don't maybe grasp everything about, say, the return of Christ, take encouragement from the big picture. It will be done. God's word will not fail. Christ will return again. Your hopes, for you who trust him, your hopes will be proved substantial. Your eternal blessing will be ushered in. You might not understand all the nitty-gritty of how it's going to happen, but it will happen. God will do it. In his appointed time, it will be done. That the angel could stand with arms raised and make the solemn oath in the name of God, it will be so. God will do it. Let me say in passing that if you're not saved, while you might get bogged down in the little details and find them off-putting, take heed of the big picture. Christ is returning. The judgment is coming. Eternity is rushing forward to meet you. And you need to be ready for it. Because it's either heaven or hell, everlasting blessing or everlasting ruin. These things are certain. They will be so. When will it happen? Well, I'll give you the answer that the angel gives Daniel. A time, times, and half a time. In other words, I don't know. I don't know when it'll be so, but I know it's appointed. I know it's established in the will of God. It will be done. So look to Christ. Be ready for his salvation. Make sure you're ready, because the words are certain. I want you then to think about the caution concerning these words. The caution. Daniel heard this first answer about the time, times, and half a time. And I suppose just like ourselves, he responded in verse 8 and said, I heard, but I understood not. He didn't get it. So he did what we would probably do. He asked for more information. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? Now, he's asking a slightly different question than the first one. The first question was essentially, how long until all of this is done? Well, this question is more, what will the very end part of this look like? He's probably asking about the later aspects of this prophecy, certainly about Michael standing up, what will be involved, what will the end of these things look like, what's happening there. That's what he's asking about, the end part of all this. And yet notice that the angel doesn't give him the answer that he's looking for. Instead, he's just told in verse 9, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. And the basic point being made to him is, don't be getting bogged down in that, Daniel. Don't be taken up with speculation and fixing all your attention there. Instead, go your way. That's not needed by you right now, Daniel. Go your way. I suppose the basic point is, Daniel, you've got to live for the Lord in the present. You've got to live for Christ today. Now, there's nothing wrong with being aware of these things that I've told you, the angel could say, but don't fix all your attention there. Those things are not primarily for you to worry about. They're sealed up for you. They're for a future time. You need to live for Christ where you are. So go your way, Daniel. Serve the Lord today. He's given a little detail that as the time comes nearer, many shall be purified and made white through all these trials, and the wicked will do wickedly and will increase in wickedness. They'll not understand, the wise will. The point is, as it's needed, he's being told, my people will understand what they need. God will sanctify them. But Daniel, go your way. Don't be taken up with unnecessary things. Now, when you see those words in verse 9, go thy way, Daniel, the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. There is a very relevant instruction there for many believers. There's plenty of Christians who need this instruction. There's plenty, of course, who, because of the difficulty of prophetic parts of the Bible, just ignore the whole thing altogether because it's easier. I suppose we can have that instinct. That can be one response to it. It's easier. This stuff's too complicated, so I'll just leave it all together. Now, that's not an overly healthy approach either, because those things are in the Bible. They're there for your good, and you should at least try to think about them. But at the other extreme, there are believers who get totally taken up with the less clear things of the future, and all of their energy is set there. And it seems like that's all that they're interested in. About what the Antichrist will do, about what it'll look like when Christ returns, and all the little details. And so much energy and emphasis is placed on trying to explore in this speculative way future things. Now, be clear, I'm not condemning an interest in future things. There is a value to thinking about the prophecies of the Bible, even regarding the second coming of Christ. There's a value there. It's worth considering. But what I am doing is giving some caution, like Daniel is given. Go your way. Don't get so absorbed in all of this that you fail to live for Christ today. Whenever you're spending all your time reading your Bible in order to try and piece together end time things, and your study of the Bible is all geared toward that, rather than about receiving a fresh word of God for you today, rather than about beholding the work that Christ has done in history, the substantial, the edifying work of the cross by which you stand, when you neglect the central themes of the gospel and all your energy is focused on end time stuff, well, you're going wrong. You're going wrong. Again, there's nothing wrong with trying to understand end time things, but if that's where your primary focus is, on the unclear things, and you're missing out on the clear revelation of the gospel in Christ, well, you're going to miss out on what you need for today. You're going to miss out on a fresh challenge for your heart, on fresh food for your soul, fresh sights of Calvary and the gospel work of Christ. You know, that's where your focus needs to be. But we don't start the Christian life by looking at the cross and then proceed to grow in the faith by delving into the more complicated things. We grow in the faith by continuing to behold the cross and the central truths of the gospel. That's how we grow. I trust God will help us as time goes on to mature in our understanding of complicated things too. But that's how we grow, by looking at the cross, by beholding the central things of the faith. That's how we grow. I quite like a slogan that I've heard used by Alistair Begg. He's a minister in America. And he says concerning the Bible quite often, the main things are the plain things, and the plain things are the main things. And that's a handy slogan. The main things are the plain things. You know, what is primary in importance for you is set down very plainly on the page of Scripture. That's where your focus ought to be, right at the center of the faith, on the person and the work of Jesus Christ. You can go through your Bible and plot lovely looking charts as to what, you know, what order of things the end time events will happen in. You'll probably get it all wrong, by the way, because none of us gets it all right, every jot and tittle. But even if you manage to do it perfectly, you could plot the lovely chart and so on, and yet you totally miss out on the present nourishment that there is found by gazing upon the Saviour who bled and died for a sinner like you. In Mark 13, Christ spoke about his return like that of a man who's taken a long journey, and he's given his servants authority to work, and he's told the porter to watch the door, to watch and be ready for his coming. And the warning was, beware lest the master come suddenly and he find you sleeping. You know, you're not serving the way you're meant to be. Well, if you let me adapt that a little bit, I would say, beware lest the master come suddenly and he finds you poring over the books and drawing up your charts, and yet for all of that, not actually serving him. Don't ignore the complicated parts of the Bible. But there comes a point when you also have to heed this warning that Daniel got. Go your way. Go your way. Focus on the things that will increase your faith in Christ. Focus on the things that will show you presently his beauty in a clear and obvious way. Behold who he is. Behold what he has done for you. Now finally here, I want you to notice the conclusion with these words. The conclusion. If the book of Daniel finished with the end of verse 10, then perhaps it would make our job a little bit easier. But suddenly you find that before we close the book, we're given one last puzzle to deal with. Daniel's told in verse 11, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. And then, to make things even more complicated, verse 12, blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. So you're told about 1,290 days, first of all, between the sacrifice being taken away and the abomination, which makes desolate, being set up. And then there's a blessing for the one who comes through the 1,335 days. You get an extra 45 days added on there. And so you're left with this question, well, what's this all about all of a sudden? Well, I'm not going to give you a definitive answer, but I'll give you some of the main suggestions. Some lean on the fact that the abomination which makes desolate was mentioned in chapter 11, something which happened in the days of Antiochus Epiphanes, that, you know, one of those kings of the north. Some say that, well, this must be the same event. I suppose in context that sort of makes sense. That would be the obvious close reference to the abomination that makes desolate. Now, the main problem with that is the days. You know, what are these 1,290 days? And then the 1,335, it doesn't seem to match up very well with that. In fact, earlier in the book of Daniel, I have a feeling it was chapter 8, but I might be wrong in that, and we were told about that time of oppression, and a totally different number was given. But some say it's that it's this time of trouble under Antiochus Epiphanes. Another option is that it's a second abomination of desolations. It's a reference to the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. Now, in support of that, when Christ's disciples were told by the Saviour that the temple would be destroyed, and they asked when it would happen, he responded, and he referred in Matthew 24, verse 15, to the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. He Christ clearly saw something from Daniel happening shortly after his day on earth in Luke's account of the same event. Luke doesn't mention the abomination of desolations, but he does substitute for that Jerusalem surrounded by armies. Well, whatever we take it to be, Christ told the people in those portions that when they saw these things, they were to flee the city. He told them in verse 34 of that chapter that these things would be fulfilled within a generation, and they were. The temple was destroyed within 40 years. So some take this to be the time of the Roman siege of Jerusalem, which did last about 3.5 years, pretty close to this number of days. And then there's those who view this as another end time abomination that makes desolate, being set up. Some suggest even a rebuilt temple, and then it being destroyed and so on. I don't know whether I can point to the evidence for that. Someone else might, but I don't know that I can. There's another view that these days are symbolic, that it's referring to the same time period as time, times, and half a time. So there's some of the different views. I have my preference to them, but it's not a firm one, so I'm not going to press it just now. What I want to do, though, is draw your attention to the blessing which is attached to those who come through all of this. Whatever we make of these days, notice verse 12, blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 days. And whatever we make of those numbers and what's going on, certainly the point is those who endure this time of trial, whenever you put it to be, those who endure this time of trial by faith in the Lord, who walk with God throughout it, there's a blessing for them at the end. There's a blessing. There's a blessing for those who persevere with the Lord through all this trouble. And then notice what Daniel's told right at the end of the book. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Daniel's being told there, you know, go your way, get on with serving the Lord today. And you know, Daniel, before all of this is fulfilled, you're going to rest. That is, you're going to die. You're going to be in the grave. You're going to be at rest with the Lord, waiting for the fulfillment of it all. But not only that, Daniel, notice the last line. You're going to stand in your lot at the end of the days. Daniel, you're going to be an inheritor. The lot, that's talking about the portion. It's language taken from when Israel inherited the promised land, and they each family got their lot, their portion. They inherited their area of the promised land that was given to them. Well, Daniel's being told, go your way. Before all of this is fulfilled, Daniel, you're going to rest, you're going to sleep, you're going to be dead. But, Daniel, here's the encouragement. At the end of it all, at the end of days, you're going to be standing in your lot. You're going to be an inheritor of the kingdom of God. Daniel, today you might not understand all the detail, but it's certain, Daniel. So get on with serving the Lord today, and be sure of this, that with your faith in the Lord, through the Savior, you will be raised up to inherit, just like all the saints. You'll not miss out on anything. You'll be dead before it's all complete, Daniel. But you're going to be raised. You're going to stand in your inheritance at the end of it all. Now, there's a good place for this book to end. There's all sorts of things in the book of Daniel that are hard to understand. All sorts of things that at least feel to us as if they're sealed up. And we should certainly take an interest in what's there. God has given it for our good. But lest we end up fixating in all the wrong places, well, let's all heed the warning given to Daniel. And let's do so with this conclusion set before our mind's eye. We might not understand the working out of it all. You know, you ask different individuals and we have our different debates over millennial views, what we're expecting in the time ahead. But keep this conclusion before you. If you're a child of God through faith in Christ, the Christ who has been set forth in this book, then you are an inheritor. And even if you don't understand everything in this book, even if you don't understand how it's all going to work itself out, the day is coming when you, through Christ, will be raised to stand in your lot, in your portion, in your inheritance, at the end of it all. See, while there's plenty that's complicated and difficult and challenging in the Word of God, the core of what you need is very plain, very straightforward. Christ says to you today, come to me, I'll save you. Walk with me. I'll bless you. I will uphold you. I'll cleanse you. I'll put away your sin. And through me, you shall be an inheritor of the kingdom of God. We might not understand every verse in the Bible. We probably don't. And probably don't even understand every verse in this book. But there's enough in Scripture that's clear, enough that's obvious, and we have exactly what we need. There's nothing to make us alarmed then, and there's plenty to make us rejoice, to give us confidence in our God, and to cause us to rest by faith in Christ, and to know that He's able to equip us to live unto our God. He's able to save us. He's able to bring us to glory. Place your confidence in Christ then. Enjoy His salvation. And though you might not understand all the detail, what a prospect is set before you at the conclusion. Through Christ, with sin forgiven, you shall be an inheritor, standing like Daniel in your lot in the kingdom of God. May the Lord bless His word to us. Amen.